So today's we're discussing the case of Redonda Vaught. Redonda Vaught, I don't expect you to know who she was. This was in the news a lot in the last year, but in hospitals, people were talking about it a lot. It was so much so that my hospital, actually Cedars-Sinai, put out a statement about the case, which they rarely put out statements about news cases. Here was the case, and I want to hear what you think is the right thing, the ethical thing, the wrong thing, and I'll tell you at the end what actually happened. So it was 2017, that was the year, 2017, at Vanderbilt, Medical Center in Tennessee, and there was a patient named Charlene Murphy. Charlene Murphy was 75 years old, and she had a minor, illness. She was in the hospital, she had surgery, and she was scheduled to be discharged that day. The day of her discharge, she had a nurse named Redonda Vaught, and Redonda Vaught was going to do a minor procedure. She just needed a minor procedure to be done, and then she'll be discharged. She's doing fine. She's going home, right? So here's what happened. The nurse has to get her medications. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. There's at the nursing station, there's a computer and a machine, and the drugs are kept in the drawers. They're locked. And you have to type it into the machine. In fact, in many hospitals, it says over the machine, do not talk to the person standing here because they can't be distracted. Although that day her job was to train another nurse. So she had another nurse all day following her around. And nurses have very long shifts, a long day. She types into the machine. She needs Versed. Versed is just a minor medication to help her get through this procedure.
So she types in and that
one. So she types in Versed. And what happened was she just types in VE. And it's supposed to have autocorrect. It's supposed to autofill.
It gives you a medicine?
And then the medicine can pop out.
Oh, okay.
It shows you have to slap your badge and show that you're really a medical professional. And then it'll pop out in the dosage and everything. And sometimes warnings. And what happened was she typed in VE for Versed. And nothing came up. She's waiting for autofill to fill in. So there is an override button. That's a warning. And certain medications are very highly protected. And you could override it, but it's warning. So she clicked override. She typed in VE again. Something came up. She just clicks. She sees something come up. She just clicks enter, and it pops out on the screen. It pops out of the drawer. So she thinks it's Versed. Versed again is just a minor medication to help the patient be comfortable for her procedure. But instead, VE, she didn't realize it autofilled to Vecuronium. Vecuronium is a medicine that induces paralysis. It causes a person to become paralyzed.
Oh, shit.
And she took it out. And one thing she didn't realize, by the way, was that Versed is just a medication that is liquid. Vecuronium is mixed with liquid. It's powder that needs to be mixed. But she did it. She didn't realize the difference between the medications. She takes the medication and she brings it to the patient. She administers the medication. She leaves the room. 30 minutes later, she comes back. The patient, who's supposed to be discharged that day, is unresponsive. Short time later, she died.
Oh, my God.
So now the nurse is like, oh, how did she die? This is a healthy patient. I just gave her... And then she looks back at the bags and everything she had, and she realizes right then her mistake. Yeah.
Mind if I go quickly meet with this issue?
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. Do whatever you got to do. So she realizes her patient's dead. And now she's like, oh, man, what do I do? So she told her boss, she ended up telling, and she lost her job. The hospital tried to hide what happened. The hospital hid it, and she was, and they actually put on her death certificate that she died, the patient died of natural causes.
Oh, shoot.
A couple years later, someone, we don't know who, just an anonymous tipster, called the county and was like, you need to redo that autopsy. Look at it again, because it was not natural causes. It's impossible. They checked again. They realized, oh, yeah, she dies from vecuronium overdose. So they went back to the hospital. The hospital was like, oh, yeah, it was just, we got it. And they just basically brushed it off. When someone realized that the hospital wasn't being punished and that they were hiding it. No, this was at Vanderbilt in Tennessee. Yeah. They went back to the hospital, and the hospital got threatened to lose their accreditation and to lose all their government funding. And then the hospital was like, okay, yeah, we'll take it more seriously. And then they charged that nurse, and then they put her on trial. And now the nurse...
What hospital did this?
What?
Hospital put her on
the trial? Hospital turned her in, basically. Okay. And then the government put her on trial, which it's very rare for medical professionals to face criminal charges for medical error. They put her on trial for three charges. Unprofessional conduct, abandoning or neglecting a patient that required care, and failing to maintain accurate patient records, and then neglect of impaired adults, and the biggest charge, negligent homicide.
That's not three, it's more than three.
Wow. Yeah, that was the ultimate charge, was negligent homicide.
Oh my God.
So that's a lot, no?
See,
I mean,
life in jail.
Yeah, it could be major, not necessarily life in prison, because it's negligent homicide, it's not first degree murder. Yeah. Homicide's different.
Still, all the charges, if she gets charged with all of them, it's a lot of...
Yeah, it could be a lot. Yeah. So she argued that she even showed an email that Vanderbilt University had sent out to all the nurses, which might be the reason why they tried to cover it up, which it said, we're unveiling now a new electronic medical record system. You might get a lot of warning signs, and there's a way to override it. Just click override if you have a problem and don't worry about it. So the hospital told them to override. The override is meant to be a warning system. It's meant to be, if you click on a medication that's very dangerous, it's meant to say, like, okay, make sure, are you sure that, you know, your patient is this, that, and the dosage, like, gives you warnings. And you can only override it once you've read it, like, yeah, I know what I'm doing, don't worry. So she clicks override, and it was meant to be a warning, and she didn't take the warning, though, because she was told, just click override. So really, it might be the hospital's fault. What do you say?
But I thought that the whole mistake was that instead of looking at what she was clicking on, like what the wrong medication, like clicking
right.
through the warning is fine, whatever, you know, like...
We all do it on our iPhones,
sure,
right?
Yeah. Like no one reads the user agreement.
Right. Right.
Like if you're not even going to look at what medicine that you put in because you just trust autocorrect to know what you want, that's entirely your fault.
Right, okay, I hear, yeah. She argued that they were understaffed, overworked, she was exhausted. They gave her someone to train all day. Imagine you're having to train someone all day, so you're not totally focused. That was her argument, but I hear you. Also that it's a different type of medication. The medication, she had to mix it, which she should have known that Versed you don't have to mix.
So that's not her.
It should be her fault. You would think that sounds like her fault. Then again...
It's all her fault. Doesn't even compare. Nothing to say about it.
What?
It's totally her fault.
You don't think that's hospital's fault? I mean, it was an accident. She didn't want to kill the person.
I think in a way, it's like, I don't want to say 50-50 right. exactly, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like half hospital's fault, half her fault. She,
okay.
If it's known that she needs to mix this medicine, and she obviously just gave this person straight liquid,
right.
then obviously, hello, that's... Forget the override part. It's supposed to be liquid, and it was supposed to be liquid,
right, and then she mixed
and she
it,
gave
right.
him liquid, so that's her fault. The hospital's fault was understaffed, testing on a... patient, whatever, and
training
on a patient, and prison override. So I think she should not be trialed for so many things.
Okay. The hospital did tell nurses, just override. They told them to override, so, yeah.
But what if she was trying to kill the patient, but this is, like, the cover-up?
Well, okay, that, theoretically, I mean, that's, maybe you watch too many movies, but, right, I mean, theoretically, that's the reason why I have a criminal justice system. Like, it is possible that she was trying to kill the person, and she came up with a clever way of doing it, but, I mean, the fact that she turned herself in... And then she was, like, totally broken and distraught, and it seems to imply that she didn't do it intentionally, but it's always, you should always check all angles. Yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like the warning, they can make the argument against the hospital, because most of the time, you know what medicine you're taking.
Yeah.
You're taking it, so you know about the warning. Like, you're a trained medical professional.
Right.
You should know the medicine. So
yeah.
Telling you to override, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But, like, if you're just going to rely on not even read what it is, like, be so out of it, it's clear negligence. Like, you can't just say, oh, I was so overworked that, like...
Right.
At some point, you're either passing out or you're just completely...
Right. Right, and now this person's dead. Like, right, okay. So the question I want to ask is, what do you think the halacha is? Do you think halacha deals with this?
No.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Yeah, it does.
What is it?
Here, pass this out. Pass this back. What?
Accidentally killing people is a huge... It's like,
yeah. And there's actually a Sif in Shulchan Aruch, which I'll show you, that deals exactly with this. So first of all, on the top of the page, it's going around. You might have to share. There might not be enough sheets here, but just pass them around, and maybe two for each person. So one question would be, if you look at the Rambam at the top of the page, Hilchos Rotzeach v'Shmiras HaNefesh Perek Hei Halacha Beis. So here, think. I'll read you this Rambam. Tell me if you think how this would apply to our case or if it doesn't apply. The Rambam says, Ein HaRotzeach B'Shkaga Gola. First of all, you know that accidental murder, a person has to go to Galus. They have to go to the Ir Mikvah, right? They have to go into the city of refuge. So he says, a person who kills accidentally, HaRotzeach B'Shkaga Gola, does not go to Galus, Elaim Kain Meis HaNerag Miyad. Only if the person dies right away. Avaim Chava or B'Shkaga Af Al Pish Amdu Lamisa V'Chala V'Meis. Even, but if they actually do something and the person eventually dies, Enogola Shema Hu Kirev Es Misas Atmo. Just like you said, maybe she was really trying to kill the person. How do you know the person? How do you know that she wasn't? She didn't do some kind of action that ended up making her die faster, or that there was some aspect that the patient did wrong that ended up causing her to die. In other words, if they don't die right away, how can you blame it all on the person who did it?
That's a stupid argument.
Well, in this case, it's hard to make that argument.
Yeah.
But in some cases, like here's the example he gives. He says. What?
And while dying during work, people say that about this.
He gives an example of and he says, let's say, shachet bo kol shnei asimanim. What if you shacked at an animal, the amar mi'at, enu gola al yado, and it's able to survive for a minute, stands up for a minute. The thing is, you have to know for sure that your action killed the person to be chayav galus. Can we know for sure that the nurse killed the patient?
Yes or no?
Yes and no?
Yes or no. Why yes? Because she gave the medicine to that person.
Right. She was expected to go
home. No, because maybe, you never know, people have flaws and they could have just...
Right. It wasn't right away. It did take a half an hour. Half an hour is pretty short. And that probably fits into the rule of miyada.
How did it take 30 minutes?
Well, she came back 30 minutes later and the patient's dying.
So it could have been instantly.
Well, she knows that she was in the room for a little while.
Oh, okay.
And she wasn't dead. She leaves, then comes back, and she's dead. So it seems to be around 30 minutes.
Maybe that person could have injected himself with something while she was gone.
I mean, theoretically, it's possible. The autopsy didn't show it.
Theoretically, it could have been suicide.
Right. So it seems like, in this case, maybe she didn't die right away. So maybe there's room for leniency. But it seems like she did die right away. So actually, there's not room for leniency, because 30 minutes, I would say, that is miyad. She gave her the medication. 30 minutes later, she's dead. It happened right away, and you can't say...
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't get it.
So it's hard to say it's shoge. It's hard to say it's accidental.
Is there even a medication that could counter that, the paralyzation medication?
That's a good question. What if she's something she could have done? There probably is something she could have done, but she would have had to act very, very quickly, but... It's a good question. I'm not sure.
I thought he said paralysis, not death.
It caused paralysis, but she was overdosed on it.
Mm.
So it caused paralysis and then death.
She was so negligent with it that she took something that shouldn't even
kill her. I mean, it's very negligent. So there's another possible heter. So I think she doesn't fit in that heter because the patient basically did die right away. 30 minutes is, that's pretty much right away. The Gemara says, Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Zainam Abeis. Tanya, Hanosein Samamovis Ithnei Behemes Chaveiro. What if you give a poison, very horrible poison, to your neighbor's animal? The Gemara says, Pater Midine Adam V'chayev Bidine Shemayim. You're technically pater because you didn't force it into the animal. You just put it there and then the animal came and drank it, so it's not like direct cause.
Wow.
That's what the Gemara is arguing.
Humans are animals. Must be
law. Yeah. What?
Humans are animals. Must be different law.
Well,
stumbling block before the
law. Sort of, but the point is, that if you let's say the nurse just put the medications there, and then the patient said, "Oh, here, it's time for me to take my meds." She takes the medications. So maybe the nurse could say, "It's not totally my fault. The patient should have known also." I mean, that would be kind of a hard case.
Stumbling block before the blind. That's what makes more sense.
Yeah, okay, fine. But is it murder? That's part of the question. Like, is it even accidental murder?
Well, what's the...
The problem is she did give it to her baby dime. The nurse injected it in her. So you don't even have the possible leniency to say, well, maybe she didn't do it directly. It was direct. It was miyad and biyad, basically. It happened right away, and it happened directly. So here's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideya, in Shin Lamed Vav, this is the part of Shulchan Aruch about medical halacha, where it says, "Nitna Torah Shus LaRofa LaRapos and Mitzvah." There's a mitzvah to help someone heal, even though sometimes it doesn't go well. We have a mitzvah to try to help people to heal. So the Gemara says, You also have to have reshus of the Beis Din. You have to have permission of the Beis Din, which in America today would be like FDA approval or something like that. You'd have to have like a license. So then at the bottom of the page, you have this on the sheet. The bottom of the page, it says, tell me what you think. If this is the Shulchan Aruch, this is the actual halacha, how do you think this applies to our case? The bottom of the page. Guys. So it says, Repay Rishus Beis Din. If you heal someone and you have a license, it's with Rishus Beis Din, Vita'a Vehezik, and you make a mistake and you damage the person, Patr Medini Adam, Vechayev Medini Shemayim. You are, since you did it by mistake, you're not liable by a court, but by heaven, you are. Ve'im Hemis V'nodalo Sheshogag. And if you kill someone, and then you find out that you accidentally killed somebody, Gola Al Yado. You have to go into Golos. So what should be the punishment for this nurse?
Losing their...
In a Jewish court or...
Let's just say it was a Jewish court.
Losing their license.
Losing their license.
Okay, she did lose her license. That's American law. But I'm saying by halacha.
I'm saying that would be the equivalent of a...
Halacha, it was an accident.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The gullus would be losing your license because you can no longer practice medicine. So that's like her gullus. That's interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I knew someone once. There was someone here in L.A. before who was a teacher and a rabbi in the community, and he was very popular, and he was like becoming more and more popular. Like he was speaking everywhere and doing all this stuff. And one day on a rainy day, like today, it was at night, he was driving and he accidentally hit someone and killed someone in the community. This is going back like 25 years. And after he killed the person, it was totally accidental. It wasn't his fault. But
still right away,
his life totally changed. He ended up leaving and just kind of, he went to another city and kind of lived a kind of a quiet life. There is a sort of gullus that people go through when they themselves do something and then they just kind of, they're so depressed and distraught. I see what you're saying, losing the license is a type of gullus because it's like you can no longer practice medicine. That's interesting. There is Rabbi Graydon told me that Rev Aaron Cutler, the founder of the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva, that he once said to someone that he wonders if he accidentally once killed a bacher. Why? Because he spent his whole life in gullus. What's gullus mean? He wanted to just sit in yeshiva and learn. But he had to go around fundraising for the yeshiva all the time. So he spent his whole life in gullus from the yeshiva. He thought, maybe I did something to deserve that. But the question is, should she actually go to gullus? Like, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, right?
The accident. It was an accident.
So it's an accident. That's the punishment for accidental murder is to go to Ir Miklat.
Well, I think her going to court, her family dealing with her is already embarrassment, so I think that's maybe...
Okay.
At what point is accident negligence?
So, giving someone the wrong medicine?
Exactly. So I'm saying, like,
what?
By Torah, it seems negligent.
It's negligent. So you're saying maybe she deserves more. It's possible she deserves more.
Yeah,
At the very least, she seems to deserve gullus from the Gemara. But could someone go to Ir Miklat today? I asked Rosh Shechter when he was here last time, what should this person do? And he said, yeah, they go to gullus. I said, what does that mean? He said, actually, they should go to the Ir Miklat today. You know where the Ir Miklat is today?
No worries.
So there were six Ir Miklat. There's three in Eivor Yarden, which is today Jordan, and three in Israel. Ir Miklat is the city of refuge where someone who kills someone accidentally could go to the city of refuge, and then the family of the person that was killed is not allowed to go and be a Goel Hadam to avenge their blood and kill them. They're safe. So today, there's three cities in Israel. One is Hebron, one is Shechem. There's no Jews in Shechem. And Kadesh. There's a city in the north, which today is a farm, an archaeological dig. So he said they should really actually have to go and live in one of those cities for the rest of their life.
And do what they
sleep?
Just
chill.
Figure it out. Basically, the only choice would be a Hebron because you can't go to Shechem. And it's not that safe in Hebron either. But
someone can totally go there and kill them. What are you talking about? You're saying no.
Well, by halacha, they wouldn't be allowed to. These people in this case are not Jewish, so this is all theoretical. I'm just saying.
Yeah, since they're not going to do that anyway, they wouldn't have to go to the Ireland.
Well, yeah, so that's the interesting part. So the Shulchan Aruch said they should go to Galus. So what does that mean? So if you look here on the page, the Nishmas Avram quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he says, "Kasav liagon or shomazam in Arabach zatzal shemashov b'shulchan aruch eino ela laman das chomer ha'iser." It's just to know how bad of an iser it is to say that you would have to go to the Ir Miklat if you killed someone accidentally. But it doesn't mean that today someone should actually go to the Ir Miklat. The Tzitz Eliezer says it could be, and this goes to your question about the negligence. He says, "Ima rof hechlif es atrufa betaus ekev tirdas." So if it's because they were so tired or they were being negligent, the history trufa acheres, and they gave the wrong medication because they were so tired or confused or distracted. Kosfim, then he says, then that would be nechshav That would actually be negligent if you could see, show that it was their fault. Maybe in this case, you could even argue that it was negligent and not shogeg because she should have been more careful. But let's say we're going to argue that she was simply, it was an accident. So what should happen? So I want to share with you a really interesting source, and then we'll wrap it up. I'll just show you two interesting things, and then we'll close. The Minchas Yitzchak, who was Dayan Weiss. He was actually the postdoc for Shari Tzedek Medical Center in Yerushalayim, in addition to the Eda Charedis. He disagrees with Rev Schechter that it would actually apply today. And he says, this is at the bottom of the page that I gave him on the last page, he says, Hinei b'divrei Shulchan Aruch shehevi la'alacha divrei Ramban, it's according to Ramban, derofa shogeg, the Rofi Shoshagah, Chayav Golos, the doctor should go to Golos. Tzarech Iyun. We have to understand this. Dehari ein darcho shal mechaber lehavi rak dinim hanuhagim bezman hazeh. The Shulchan Aruch only quotes things that apply today. And this whole idea of ir miklat does not apply today. We don't have a Sanhedrin to send someone there. We don't have an ir miklat today. He says, "V'im kein har kasav atur b'shem rav netrunaygon to lo donin din galos bezman hazeh." And we know the Torah already says we don't have galos today. That's already halacha. So if we don't have galos, we don't have the ir miklat, the city of refuge today, how could we have the? Well, no, Rav Schechter disagrees, obviously. Rav Schechter, I was surprised Rav Schechter said it, and I told him I was surprised, and he said, it is. And in fact, he gave a shiur here, and I heard it, it's recorded, it's on YU Torah, where he said, I told one of the rabbis in LA that this doctor should go to the Eir Miklat, and he was surprised, but I'm surprised he's surprised. It's actually a halacha. That's what they should do. And I'll explain why in a second.
No way, it's also the Kedusha had one.
No, it's not based on the Kedusha. I'll tell you what it's based on in just a second. It's based on, there's a debate, and this is what Rav Schechter said, is the Eir Miklat a kanas, like a fine, like a penalty, or is it kapara? Is it kapara as a way of doing tshuva? Well, it's either one, it's one of those two. I mean, that's what the Gemara says. That's the debate. It's either a penalty, or it's a way for you to do tshuva for what you did.
But it's neither, because you're going there to make sure that you don't get killed.
Well, yeah, okay, you could look at it that way, it's totally practical, but there's something deeper there also, that is, what's the goal of, what's the point of being there? And Rav Schechter argued that the most say that it's for kapara. If it's for kapara, you might not need to have the Sanhedrin and the, you know, all that stuff today. You might be in a Gemar Din, you could maybe just have that, you could tell someone they have to go there, meaning there's no basin that would tell someone you have to do it, but if you ask me, he says, what should she do? That's what I would tell her. So, but the Torah says, no, it doesn't apply today. And also the Sefer HaChinuch says that, the mitzvah zu noheges rak bezman Yisrael sham, that only when we are there, al masan on our land. And he also says, he gives all the places to look here, the einu noheges rak bezman sheyesh ari mikvah. It would only apply in those times. Oh, sorry, chinuch, hare dimi divrei Ramban, shehutak beveis Yosef, mashma de einu chayev, galos rak midini shemayim. Anyways, the whole concept of going in galos only applies in Dini Shemayim, like what would be required in heaven, so to speak, but not actually in practice today. So he says, so what's going on? Why did the Shulchan Aruch quote that idea that you'd have to go into Galus if it doesn't apply today? He says, the Amai lo Shemi'inan Zos B'Hamachaber. So why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say this? V'yeshlomar d'krusha chada v'teretzis b'chaverta. It seems that the question answers the other question, which is what? T'lohayet tzarech ha-machaber la Shemi'inan d'havei rak v'dini Shemayim. The Shulchan Aruch didn't have to tell us that it was only by heavenly courts. To mehad milvad the custom of Shulchan Aruch din she'ein no heges. Bezman hazeh, since the Shulchan Aruch says something that doesn't apply today, mukach to lav hachi, that this is implying lezeh din galus mamish. It's implying that obviously it's not actual galus, le galus la'ir mikla, to go to the ir mikla, but rather what? This is the important line, and these are the main thing that we can learn from this. Rak din galus bidine shemayim, nafkamina gam bezman hazeh. It does apply today. Why? Lisader lo darche hachuva b'mishkal hagalos. That the person should do tshuva with the weight of galus. Meaning, a person should say to themselves, what would it do to my life today to actually have to move to Hebron and drop everything, drop my whole life, my friends, my job, and live in Hebron? What would that mean to me? And how can I do tshuva that puts myself in the frame of mind or the experience of having to go through that? And he writes, and the Minchas Yitzchak concludes, k'deisa harbe mizeh, b'sifrei habalei tshuvos. This is discussed in the works of tshuva. So I searched and I found it in one place. And this I want to conclude with and then make one last point and then hear what you think. The Me'iri has a sefer called Hibur HaTshuva. The Me'iri is a Rishon. He says as follows. What would it mean for a person? Imagine you're that person. Imagine if someone comes to you and says, I realize I killed a person. It was by mistake. It was an accident. It was part of my job. I was doing my job and there was all these reasons why I can make these excuses, but they killed a person. How do they do tshuva for that? How do they repent for that experience. So the Meiri says as follows on the back of the page. She says, Shiflus Haruach. What does it mean to have Shiflus Haruach? To have lowliness of spirit, to have humility, to lower oneself. Hayoso Nichna Bechol Lev Bechol Nefesh, to lower your heart, your spirit. As it says, Ma Hashem Dorish Mimcha, what does Hashem want from you? Ki ima sos mishpat va'avas chesed. Hashem just wants for you to do justice, love good. Lo bakasha srara, not to want to have lordship over other people, to have power or authority, the kavod and honor. La'atzmecha, for yourself. Al ma'alosecha, because you think you're so great. Al ma'asecha, and on your actions. V'lo yeh tachlis, his parto, rak b'mash, yishalim etzlo, me'avodas Hashem. You should only be happy with what you do to serve Hashem, not with the things that you get, with the honors you get from others. And then he concludes, and he says at the bottom there, v'sheyedav yisbonein, ki harchakas mine redifas hevle ha'olam, to be avoiding all the honors of this world, olam hazeh hu mafteach levakashas olam haba. That's how you get to olam haba. Not wanting to have the honors of this world, just recognizing you want the honors of the world to come. That's why it says that galus is makaperes avon. It gives kapara, it gives repentance, it gives purification. Because going into galus makes a person lower themselves. And it takes away the sense of like authority over others. They lower themselves, they humble themselves. That people have so much in this world. So, in other words, what the Shulchan Aruch meant when it said that she has to go into galus is that she has to put herself through a tshuva process to experience. So just like Rabbi Graydon said to me, I said to him, should the person actually go into galus? Like he said, Rav Cutler Zatzal said that he felt like he was in galus his whole life. Should the person actually go live in an Ir Miklat? He said no. They should humble themselves and they should. It will come. Meaning the changes will happen. Hashem will decide to make sure things happen, but they also have to take upon themselves that I'm going to humble myself and not just act like, oh, everyone else is wrong and I'm right and everyone else is stupid, but like show why they have learned their lesson, so to speak. And in fact, actually, in this case, this nurse, Redonda Vat, publicly apologized. She apologized to the family. She was extremely apologetic and remorseful. And she cried and begged them for the forgiveness. In fact, they also, the family actually wrote a letter to the court saying that they want the smallest punishment for her. So before I tell you what happened, I'll tell you in a second what actually happened. Because she was on trial for very severe penalties. There's one last Gemara that I think is important to conclude this message. If the point of Gullus, the message is, to lower ourselves. So I think one of the most important things when it comes to midos and character traits is to learn humility and to not, you know, when you see people that act with extreme gaiva, like the Gemara says, that's doche ragle ashchina. That pushes away Hashem. It's hard to have Hashem's presence with a person who's just totally haughty and full of themselves. And I think a lot of the worst problems happen in our society from people who think so highly of themselves and are so overly confident. The Gemara says in Makos, Daf Yudam Aleph, Tanya, Talmud Shigala, if a student goes into Galus, Megalin Rabo Imo, their rabbi has to go into Galus with them. Shenemar V'chai, what does it mean? Avid Le Mide Detzhule Chiyuse. He has to go with the things that cause him his life. The message here, I mean, it could be a lot of messages. What does it mean that the rabbi had to go with him? Maybe the message could be that, you know, the person that you... you take your Jewish religious guidance from is also responsible. There's the people that train you. There's reason the rabbi had to go into galus was because he didn't train the person well enough, and so it's partially responsible. And so to refer in this case, you could say, okay, maybe that means Vanderbilt University. They should be punished as well. Like there, if she should go into galus, so should the medical system. Or maybe you could say in a broader level that it's like, what are the systems? The rabbi represents the educational system. So what are the systems that were not in place that enabled this mistake to happen, and what are the systems we have in our lives that prevent us from having that that shiflus haruach and from being modest and avoiding like lording ourselves over others? Maybe part of tshuva, repentance, is looking at like what kind of friends we're surrounded by, the people we're around, the lifestyle, our schedule, our influences, like the general system, and that's what the rabbi represents. So she, Redonda Vaught, was found guilty. She was found guilty. That's when the hospital released a statement. There were nurses around the country, nursing associations, protesting this and releasing statements because they were saying, who's going to want to go into nursing? If now you can find out that from making an accident, you could end up in prison, and we're already, because of COVID, have shortages of nurses, especially at that time. Like, this is just such a strike against the nursing system and against the medical system, and they were furious. Yeah, it's serious, but, like, that was a very severe penalty. But like I said, the family begged for, well, she was going to find out. The sentencing was coming.
Well, they literally sentenced her to jail.
She got found guilty. But then when they, there was so much letters to the court and the family themselves of the patient asking for mercy that the judge went extremely soft on her. They gave her 3 years, but not 3 years of prison, 3 years of probation. She obviously, exactly. So now she's like a warning, like if you do something else like this, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. She has to meet with some counselors. She did lose her medical license. She's not practicing as a nurse anymore. But she didn't end up, you know, in prison. There was a time they thought she would, because there was a time between
What's her name?
Redonda Vaught. You can look up, there's a great stuff online. There's even a few, like, these Dateline shows did, like, full, like, 20-minute segments on her. Like, you can Google them and watch the shows. It's really interesting. But I think the message for us also is really profound. Because you see, first of all, the Judaism does really care about our actions, even if they're accidental. There's a tshuva process that has to happen. And it's upon us to figure out what is the proper tshuva for our actions. Even if they're accidental, we can't just say to ourselves, oh, it's not my fault, and just blame others. That's not a good meetup. Also, good midos is trying to recognize, where did I go wrong? How can I do tshuva for this? How can I make it right? If I can't make it right, how can I go through some sense of kapara? It doesn't necessarily mean actually moving to an ir miklat, but putting myself through the experience of being in an ir miklat is also profound and important, and a message that we can get from this, that the Shulchan Aruch was talking about something. It wanted us to know that it applies to us today. Even though the ir miklat doesn't apply today, the concepts still apply to our lives very much today.